shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian Plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The Talk of the Town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra. Bedtime turns me off and I
don't mean maybe. Welcome to the Saturday night edition of Nocturnal Journal live from the American Music Festival in Berwyn, Illinois. This is day number two, right, Charlie Parr?
It's day number two, that's right.
And we're broadcasting from the Bluebird camper van. That's one reason I wanted to have you, Charlie. We're going to talk about life on the road. Charlie's a singer-songwriter from Duluth.
Yep.
And you played here last night?
I played last night, and I started the festival off today.
And tell us, I've been to Duluth to see minor league baseball.
Nice.
Years ago. They still have that stadium there, yeah.
Yep.
It's an old WPA. But that whole sound, that's one reason I wanted to have you on the show is that whole lo-fi stuff that's coming out of Duluth. I mean, have you worked with Trampled with Turtles and Low? And tell us about the sound that's coming out of there and why it's like that from Duluth.
Well, that's tough. I'm not really sure, but I've always kind of done the lo-fi thing. I'm not really sure why Duluth is so enamored with it, but it's something that the first time I recorded in Duluth, it was in a basement studio of an indie record label from Duluth called Shaky Ray Records. And, I mean, it was just messy as can be. Everybody that recorded there shared the same few tapes because tape's so expensive. And it felt like a lot of things in Duluth feel like a community thing. It's a real supportive place, and so you share tapes, you share microphones, you share guitars, you share shows, and it just kind of comes out that way.
My buddy Angelo and I, we're in the studio audience, we just went to that Justin Vernon Festival a couple weeks ago in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
And there's talk there about the weather. How much is the weather being rainy and bleak sometimes up in that area? How does that affect the music and the art?
Well, personally for me, everything affects, you know, the music. The weather is just kind of, you know, isn't something you talk about much in Duluth anymore because it's so extreme and weird that there's no point in going on and on about it. Although the new Minnesota shoe for this year is a flip flop with a skate attached to the bottom of it.
So you're from Austin originally.
Minnesota.
Yeah, tell us a little about your journey. I'm interested in where your parents worked and your root stuff.
Well, Austin's a packing house town. It's kind of all that's there is the packing house. And both my folks worked at the plant. My sister worked there. She just retired from there not too long ago. A lot of my friends work there. It's just kind of all that's going on in town.
Are you talking about Hormel?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Are you talking about Spam?
Spam is what they make there.
Yeah.
But then, so it's kind of, you grow up, that's what I grew up, well, we didn't grow up eating it. I mean, it's kind of expensive, but the whole town is centered around the place and the union. And I left, the first time I left town, I dropped out of high school in 1981 and left just to bum around for a while. I came back and went to work, and then I left again right after the strike in 87.
Did you work at the factory?
No. I worked at a filling station up on 4th and pumped gas.
So if they're listening up in Austin, they'll know where that is.
Right, yeah. Right.
So what was your journey into music? Was there music around the house?
There was. My dad was into old music, and he had a big, weird, rambling record collection. He listened to a lot of old country music from, you know, the Carter family and all the way to Johnny Cash. And he listened to old blues music. He liked he liked Woody Guthrie. You know, he liked Lightnin' Hopkins and Albert King. And so he had just a big, weird record collection. And when I was 8, I became really fascinated with Mance Lipscomb and the Arhuli record that my dad had. And I listened to it constantly. And he bought me a guitar and said I should try to learn how to play that way. And I still am trying to learn how to play that way.
And when you say play that way, what do you mean?
Rural blues way, I don't know, fingerstyle. I don't even know what it's called. I never took any lessons, right. So it's hard to tell what it is. But I just sat and listened to these records over and over and over again and didn't have any friends and girlfriends and sat in the basement listening to music constantly. And then in the back of the house where my sister lived, you know, she listened to the Grateful Dead. And so I got to hear the you know, the music, you know, I'm in a lucky position because I got to hear my dad's records of, like, the first generation of the music, or, you know, not the first, but the first recorded generation of the music, past the oral tradition. And then I got to hear, you know, a couple of folk scares away when the Grateful Dead were reinterpreting the same songs, and it was a really unique kind of perspective, and I love both of them. So,
being from Minnesota, were you a Dylan fan?
A what?
A Bob Dylan fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do love, and I love him just because he's brilliant. I don't know if it's because he's from Minnesota.
But. Yeah. So now you're going to play a little bit for us in a little bit. Well, tell us the instrument you have here, the guitar.
This is a resonator guitar. It's a steel-bodied guitar made by the National Company. And I got interested in him because one of the records I had when I was a teenager was a record by Son House with a picture of him holding one of these on the cover, and I thought, that's what I want. And I got one, and it was horrible. I couldn't play it. And then I finally got another one that I could play and that was a little in better shape. And I've never really – I traded the guitars that I had and some money to get that one and never looked back.
Now, you've done, how many records? You were telling me before we went on the air. How many have you done?
Well, I've recorded 14, but only three of them count.
And the one I haven't heard, but you just handed it to me, was 1922. I'm interested in some of the material that's on here. We were talking about Gary Davis,
yeah.
Doc Boggs. Tell us about how you came to that.
The records my dad had were like a the starting point for me, and I got obsessed, and I listened to this stuff all the time. I went to the library, and I met other people who listened to old music, and got into, you know, Charlie Patton and Blind Lemon Jefferson and Doc Boggs and Frank Hutchison and a lot of those guys, and just listened to it constantly. Doc Boggs is one of the players that I really, really, really loved. I mean, he's a blues guitar player playing a banjo, and it was the most ethereal sound that I had ever heard, and I tried to play banjo because of Doc Boggs.
What, can we squeeze a little riff in? Can you just play a little riff here? Explain what you're going to do here.
This guitar is played in an open tuning. This happens to be G. I play it oftentimes with a slide. This happens to be a chunk of a Winchester Model 97 12 gauge shotgun barrel.
Wow. Recorded. Tell us about some of the places you've recorded. I mean, I read, like, warehouses, garage, storefronts.
Right. Most of 1922 was recorded in the choir waiting room of an old church in Duluth, basements, bars, storefronts, barns, garages, people's houses.
Okay, now back up on that. The church. What led you to that, and what was the vibe you got on? I remember one time talking to Joe Henry about production and stuff, and he did one whole album in the basement. And just tell us about what that homeschool recording.
It's definitely a vibey thing. I mean, if you got good microphones and a tape machine, you know, you find the sound that you like. I went to the church because it's an old church. Sacred Heart Music Center is now an art center that we could get into and use. I found the Sanctuary was really difficult to record in because it's got a 9-second reverb time, and I play in a real staccato kind of fashion, and it just got all messed up. So the engineer brought me up, and behind the pipe organ, there's the waiting room that the choir would wait in, and it's shaped like a square silo. It's 15 feet from the floor to the ceiling, and it's small, and I sat down and played, and I was like, oh, this is exactly the sound I was looking for. So it was an accident, but it was a happy one, you know. Garages, storefronts. That record was recorded in a barn in Hillsboro, North Carolina.
Stump Jumper.
Yep.
That's your current record.
That's the last one out, yeah.
So that was in a barn.
Yep, and it was in the tack room of an old tobacco barn, because, again, the main part of the barn was just too cavernous, so we ended up in the tack room.
And so what was it like? Was there any difference in going to North Carolina and recording up north?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of got the same topography in a way. It's forests and hills, and I was with my friend Phil Cook, who's from Wisconsin, so, you know, it if you hadn't really been told that you had driven that far, you would never really know it. I mean, the weather was kind of the same at that time of year. It was in October, you know. So it felt really comfortable to me. And that's the key. I want to be comfortable, and that's in everything, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of your MO is like the separation of stage. I mean, you play, you don't really like the barrier between the performer and the stage.
No.
Play here. Tell us about your shows here at Fitzgerald's, what you've done. People getting right up to the stage and sitting on the floor. And
last night I got to play in the sidebar, and you're kind of right there next to the bar, and it's really nice. You're right there with people. There's kind of a feedback loop that, you know, I have had the pleasure of having, because I'm not playing in giant places. I play in small places, and you understand really fast what's happening with the audience, and you can. I don't write set lists. I don't make any plans. I just go there with the idea that I'm either going to collaborate with the audience on making up a set to play, or if they're not into it, I'm going to play whatever I want anyway, and it's going to be fine. So
okay, we're going to take a break for some commercials, and you're going to come back and play a song for us.
Absolutely.
Okay, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal Live from Fitzgerald's in Berwyn.
Come down to this, remember me if I forget. When I was young, we looked after our folks. Remember me if I forget. Is it too much to ask to repay what you owe? Remember me if I forget. Our grandparents told us we'd reap just what we sow. Remember me if I forget. Remember me if I forget. Now we're in the way, we're both too young and too old. Remember me if I forget. And our story is long, you only hear what you want. Remember me if I forget. I worked for my living, I didn't follow my dreams. Remember me if I forget. Is it too much to ask to repay what you owe? Remember me if I forget. Our grandparents told us we'd reap just what we sow. Remember me if I forget. Come down to this, remember me if I forget. My eyesight is sharp, but I don't know your face. Remember me if I forget. Remember me if I forget. Remember me.
Charlie Parr, welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720, live from Fitzgerald's in Berwyn. That was great, Charlie.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now tell us about that song.
Remember Me If I Forget is a song I wrote when my aunt Mid, who was in her 90s, had a stroke, and she was in hospice care. I took my mother and my mother's other sister to the hospice, and I took my guitar. I was going to play a couple of hymns for my aunt. What ended up happening was my mother and my other aunt, they sat and held her hand and sung hymns to her all day while the rest of us just sat and cried, you know.
Yeah.
And she occasionally, she'd wake up, and she wouldn't really seem to know what was going on, but you could tell she knew her sisters. And I wrote that sometime later. She had passed away like the very next week, and so I wrote that for her.
How long ago was that?
That was 2 years and some change.
Same thing, about 2 years ago, I lost my parents. And one thing, we did some stuff on the radio about the, I don't know if you saw this, about the power of music. My mom had a little bit of dementia, but the music from her youth really, really resonated with her.
Yep.
Did you see that, especially coming from a musical family or musical background?
Yeah, I did. And you could tell, like with my aunt, she'd hear songs that she liked. You could tell she was reacting to those songs. And, you know, I think that's a huge trigger for me, too. I don't have the best memory in the world. It's hard to names and numbers and stuff, but I can remember lyrics of the very first songs that I learned how to play. I can remember how to play them on the guitar. I can hear music that meant something to me when I was young, and I can remember a lot of what was happening around that time. So,
you know, are there any good supper clubs up around Duluth?
I bet there are.
Yeah, because a couple years ago, I did a book on Midwest supper clubs. And where I'm going with that is someone told me, when I was doing that book, that a place isn't a place until it's remembered.
No, I like that.
Have you ever heard that?
No, I like
that.
Yeah,
so how do you relate to that, especially in the travels you do? And I mean, where are you going after the show tonight?
I'm heading west. I'm going to do the west all the way out to Los Angeles and north up into British Columbia and then take the High Line home.
And what do you travel in?
I travel in a minivan. It looks like a soccer mom van. No stickers, no nothing, just real discreet. Nobody knows I'm in there. If you open the door, I made curtains for it. It's just real stealthy.
Give me that. Now, we're in a van now.
This is nice, though.
You like this van?
Oh, I like this van. I'll trade you even up.
We'll go on a road trip together. I'm kind of a van geek. Give me the specs on it. What color is it? What year is it?
It's a color they called aluminum.
Okay, all right.
But I got it. It's brand new. I got it from a woman whose husband had died. She bought it new, and then her husband died, and then she didn't really want it. She had barely broken in the motor, and she gave me a really good deal on it. Prior to that, I had a pickup truck that I was trying. It's harder to do this in a pickup truck. So I got this, and all the seats fold into the floor. The first thing I did is haul my little bed out of my room upstairs and stuffed it in the van, and I've been happy as a clam in there ever since.
Okay, so now tell where you're going to leave the show. Tell me what happens. How far are you going to drive? Where are you going to pull over?
Well, I drive until I don't feel comfortable driving. And I mean, I'm one of those annoying speed limit guys. I don't want tickets or attention, you know.
Yeah.
So I drive when I get tired. I like Wisconsin rest areas are fantastic. They're really good. New Jersey Turnpike. Really good rest areas.
Rest area.
New York Thruway. Yeah, I have my favorite rest areas that I like to go to. I'm kind of aiming for that one just north of Madison tonight. So I'm heading for the cities, Minneapolis, I mean. But, yeah, I pull over wherever I can. You know, I'm a big fan. There's a book that came out some years ago called something like Travel on the Blue Roads. And I'm blanking on the author, but he drove around in a van. He drove all the roads, the tertiary roads, and wrote this brilliant book about it. I love that book. But I just stop, and I try to hide, and, you know, it's a mom van. Like, you know.
Do you do Walmart parking lots?
No. Yeah. No, I don't, because I don't.
Because why?
Well.
They're always open.
I know.
The bathrooms are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I like rest areas. I don't know. I've never been like a. I did for a while. I was doing parking lots of hotels.
Yeah, that's good.
Because I found that if I looked just disheveled enough, I could walk in and like get coffee, and they would think I lived upstairs.
Okay.
But you know, then I got caught at a Super 8 with a guy's like, "You have a room here?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Show me your key." And I'm like, "I already checked out." And he goes, No, you didn't. Go away. So.
We're going to take a break for David Jennings in the news. You want to hang around and play one more song? We're going to bring on the mayor of Berwyn after.
I don't want to get in the way of the mayor, but no, I will if you want me to.
Yeah, I want you to play one more song after David Jennings in the news. We'll be back with Nocturnal Journal after this.
When I go down that funeral road, I'm gonna be dressed up fine. I'm gonna have me a nice new suit and a tie like I never could have afforded when I was alive. Ah, but I ain't dead yet. Let me wear that suit right now. There ain't nobody gonna see it when I'm locked in that box underneath the ground. Lord, I ain't dead yet. Give me my flowers now. When I go down that funeral road, there's gonna be a big old band. They're gonna play all my favorite songs while they plant me in the sand. Ah, but I ain't dead yet. Let me hear that music now. There ain't no way I can hear it locked in that box underneath the ground. Lord, I ain't dead yet. Give me my flowers now. When I go down that funeral road, everybody's gonna have nice things to say. Yeah, they're gonna say, you know, he was a pretty good egg, even if they didn't really feel that way. Ah, but I ain't dead yet. Tell me what you think right now. You can't look me in the eye when I'm locked in that box underneath the ground. Give me my flowers now. When I go down that funeral road, there's gonna be flowers just everywhere. 'Cause all my friends are gonna send some out just to show how much they cared. Ah, but I ain't dead yet. Let me have them flowers now. And I sure can't smell them so good when I'm locked in that box underneath the ground. Well, I ain't dead yet. Give me my flowers now. Well, I ain't dead yet. Give me my flowers now. Lord, I ain't dead.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN with Charlie Parr from Duluth, Minnesota.
Thank you.
So tell us about that song.
Well, that's inspired by Doc Boggs. Boggs had a song he called Roses While I'm Living, and I wrote that just kind of thinking about Doc Boggs. So
you're going to – now, when's your next gig? I'm curious about your travels.
Wednesday. I don't have a gig till Wednesday. I usually played – last year I played 272 – odd shows, so I was playing, you know, 3 to 7 nights a week, so having a few days off is kind of rare. So I play Wednesday in Minneapolis, and then I play Friday in Kearney, Nebraska, and Saturday in Denver, and kind of go on from
you
there.
You play a lot of clubs, or do you do house concerts, or combination?
A combination. Yeah. I play everywhere. I love every time I get to sit down and play the guitar is a huge deal for me, so I'll take it all. In Kearney, I played in a really, really nice little record shop up in the corner. They have a little stage, and people all come and they sit amongst the records, and it's a blast.
We were talking during the break. You would maybe do a record out of a van?
Yeah.
I love that idea.
I'm thinking about that. We've got some plans in the works. I've got not the minivan, but I've got a 1971 Chevy step van from an airport in Tucson that we could use.
Really?
Yeah, we just need some tires.
That's good.
It's got a straight six. That Chevy six was a good motor.
You get weird bugs and stuff in your van, like we're getting in here.
Yeah, I usually shut the doors.
Yeah. We're gonna. I think the lights. So before we wrap it up, how can people find your music?
Just charliepar.com. That's about it.
All your stuff is on there.
Well, yeah. There's some. There's a friend of mine who helps me with the interweb. You know, so everything should be there somewhere.
Okay, and in the next hour, we've got your friends help me set this up. In the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to have the Pines.
The Pines.
I watched a little bit of their set. They dedicated a number to you.
Yeah.
Talk about your connection with the Pines.
Oh, I've known those guys since they started, and we've been friends for many years now. They're dear friends. They make amazing, brilliant music, and I wish I could hang around and listen to them. I got to hear part of their set inside. I always seek them out when I'm around them close enough, and I've gotten to play shows with them. Had Benson played on some shows of mine last year, and he's brilliant. They're both amazing guys.
Okay. Well, you travel safe.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us in the Bluebird camper van.
Yes.
And we'll do this again sometime.
Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Parr. And
thank you.
We'll be back after this break with Berwyn Mayor Robert Levero on WGN's Nocturnal Journal. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN. And we are very, very honored to have the mayor of Berwyn in the camper van, Robert Levero. There you go. And Robert, your special guest.
My guest is Joseph Mondragon. He is the president of Berwyn Development Corporation.
Good to be here.
Nice. Thank you so much for taking time out on a Saturday night to join us. We've talked to Bill in years past and when we promote the festival and stuff. This is the 36th festival. Can you just talk about what Fitzgerald's has done for this whole strip, the whole Roosevelt Road? I've been coming here for a long time. So just what all the development along Roosevelt Road.
Well, I grew up in Berwyn, so I've been here since 1961. I actually reminded Bill that I was here before he even owned the place. And there was always, wherever you go around the Chicagoland area, you'd mention Berwyn, Fitzgerald's name always came up. So Fitzgerald brought notoriety to this strip here in Berwyn. And I think that's what brought a lot of these other businesses, the music venues here to Corridor.
Do you remember what this was before it was Fitzgerald's?
It was the Deer Lodge.
And what was it? What was going on then?
At the time, a friend of mine from college actually rented it for a couple of parties once in a while. I didn't really know much about the Deer Lodge at the point.
What was it like? Are you from Berwyn, too?
I'm not from Berwyn. I'm actually a transplant from southern New Mexico. And it's heartfelt for me because the people that I grew up in New Mexico are like the people that are here. You can make a friend and keep a friend. Families are really tight. Neighborhoods are really strong. So for me, my life has come full circle. I've not been here as long as our illustrious mayor, but I've been here for the last 12 years or so. And it's home. It's my home.
What brought you to Berwyn?
Actually, career change. You know, Chicago's my seventh city of my career. And kind of looked around and lived in the northwest suburbs. But this was a place that was home. And people like the Levero family and others in the community have become my family. You know, so you're enthused to become part of the community in some way.
So what are the issues facing? What's the current population? About 56,000?
We're close to 60,000.
60,000 now. And what are some of the issues facing Berwyn right now? What's on your agenda?
As anything else, you're always worried about the financial status of what your community's doing. But we're doing rather well. Our credit rating has gone up. We have reserves in our accounts. So we're doing rather well. We're addressing our pension problems that we've inherited from decades ago. So financially, Berwyn's doing well. We've brought in a lot of businesses to our economic chain, which is the Berwyn Development Corporation. And now it's a matter of retention. It's a matter of still building on what we have, but also retaining what we have.
I don't know what's going on in Springfield today, but how does the state budget, how does that affect you? Did they come up with anything? I haven't heard anything.
They haven't come up with anything today. The House is going back tomorrow. The Senate's going back on Monday. They're close. I have friends on both sides of the aisle, and they are close. They're working it out. It really hasn't affected us here in Berwyn other than grant money. But we've also been able to achieve getting grant monies from other sources, too.
It's embarrassing, though, when you read about people leaving Illinois and stuff like that just because we can't get our act together on something like that.
It most certainly is. And it's doubly embarrassing when you have to tell them you're from Cook County,
right.
Illinois. However, I'm very proud of the state. I'm very proud of the county we live in, and especially proud of Berwyn. So my concern is I need to take care of what's happening here.
There's people I know who have left Chicago who have come to Berwyn, the whole bungalow boom. They find a bungalow and stuff. Talk about that trend. Is that still on an upswing? Are bungalows still available? Have they been priced out? It's a bungalow city.
They're definitely available. We had a lot of rehabbers come through town that enhanced those bungalows. I live in a bungalow myself. I love it. It's still one of the largest bungalow belts, Joseph, outside the city of Chicago?
Absolutely. We have an integrated marketing campaign that started about 11 years ago or so. It was called Why Berwyn at that point in time. Now it's called Nothing Like a Suburb. So we've really, our particular goal with the Berwyn Development Corporation is to attract and to retain. But it's also to make other people within the Chicagoland area aware of what we do here. And we're creating a destination location, which is coincidental and maybe ironic to some degree for tonight, is that Fitzgerald has been that piece of Berwyn iconography. They were the initial destination area for Berwyn. So really, our goal really is to bring more awareness, not only to Chicagoland, but to our residents as well.
Do you have a thing? I mean, all the years I've been coming to Fitzgerald's, and I talk to my friends from Chicago, a lot of people say, oh, Berwyn's so far away. It's really not that far away.
It's not far
away. Is there still an image that it's a distant suburb from?
Well, you know, Berwyn used to be a sleepy little community. When I grew up here, it was we're still dubbed the City of Homes.
City of Homes.
City of
I
Homes.
I love that.
And
how did that name come about?
Well, because we are largely residential.
Uh-huh.
We have four major commercial corridors, which were basically small mom-and-pop stores. We've been able to attract some franchises here to Berwyn now, and it's become really built up. Obviously, our population has grown and grown over the years. We're still largely residential, though, so we do have to be respective of our residential neighbors, and that's what becomes very difficult at times, juggling the commercial and the residential.
We're also very unique because we're a very diverse town, diverse city.
Uh-huh.
We have a very strong ethnic origin. Italians, Polish, Czechs, Hispanic.
Do you know the percentages? I have some, but I don't know how up to date they are. You know roughly, like, percentage of?
In terms of?
Yeah, Hispanics, whites.
We're probably a little over 50% Hispanic.
Okay.
We have a large African American population. I'm Italian and Hispanic. We still have, you know, our gatherings of Czechs and Hispanics and Polish, but it mixes well. We don't have any problems that other communities might be suffering because of the diversity. It mixes well.
I have a list here of some famous people born in Berwyn.
Right.
Jim Peterick.
Yep. I met Jim Peterick.
I saw him the other night. Jim Peterick was born in Berwyn. I didn't know this. Bob Odenkirk. He was born in Berwyn and went to Naperville. Now, that's exactly what happened with me. I was born at McNeil Memorial Hospital.
Okay.
And my family moved to Naperville, too.
Okay.
And there's a former Chicago Cub named Bob Will.
Yes.
Okay. Deceased, yep. But he was born in Berwyn. I went to high school in Naperville with
it. Sure.
So those are three or four famous people.
At one time, back, I believe, in the 70s, there were a lot of Blackhawks that lived in
Berwyn. That's true, yeah.
Bobby Hall lived on 38th and Winona. He always reminds me of that whenever I see him.
Really?
So we had a lot of the they used to actually hang out here on Roosevelt Road.
Did they really?
Yes.
Did they
yes.
really? McNeil's doing well. That's a big employer, isn't it?
Yes.
Largest.
Yeah. Yes.
We were going to play a little bite. I mean, they did a little bit. I remember I was on the set of Light of Day, that movie years ago. They filmed some of that in the old pediatrician thing.
Sure.
Joan Jett and Michael J. Fox.
Sure, that. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. What about other developments? What about Route 60?
How about Toronto Bread? Toronto Bread started out as a little store down here on further east on Roosevelt Road. Now it's a conglomerate down there.
Right. Yeah. National.
So, yeah.
What about Route 66? Is there that's also been on the upswing in the last couple of years. It cuts through town. Tell us about your involvement with Route 66.
Well, Route 66 now is basically organized by the Berwyn Development Corporation, which still the gentleman that started in the beginning, they're still involved heavily. We actually attract about 10,000 people for Route 66. But what we have is we have in our depot district along the railroad tracks, every other Tuesday night we have our car shows. And that leads up into the Route 66. We also have our Oktoberfest in September, which brings about 10,000 people to the city of Berwyn also.
I think it's important to note that, you know, we're a town that's 4 square miles, so it's not very large.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But we have 4 distinct corridors, as our mayor indicated, and each one of them has a different identity, a different personality. So our particular goal as a city, in collaboration with the BDC, is to identify those particular areas where each one of those corridors can exist and excel. There's Ogden, there's Depot District, there's Cermak Road, and then there's Roosevelt Road. Roosevelt Road here has been dubbed as more as an entertainment corridor.
Sure. Yeah, right.
And again, Fitzgerald's has been an instrumental part of that. Cermak Road is very much our largest business density, and so we have most of our businesses there. So it's a balancing act that we really enjoy being a part of and cultivating as much as we possibly can.
When I was bringing the camper van in for tonight, is Frank? What happened to Frank Thomas's place? Is that still open?
Yeah, it is.
It was closed tonight. So
no,
yeah.
Frank is still involved there. He hired new managers, and they're getting going to redo the place just a little with some signage and stuff. They'll be opening shortly.
So that's still
absolutely
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about this Berwyn as a restaurant destination? Tell us about some of that. I know there's one right down the street.
You could start right on Roosevelt Road, and actually the development of Culver's right here is what actually started the growth here on Roosevelt Road. You got the Bona family down the street.
Right.
That was their first store. Now they're all over the Chicagoland area. You have Autremont, which is a Mediterranean-style restaurant. We have a couple of Capri restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants.
Right next door here.
Right next door. The Notte restaurant in the Depot District, another Italian restaurant. We still have the right across the street, we have the Cermak, right across the street from the Cermak Plaza. We still have our great Czech restaurant. So there's plenty of food to eat around here. Besides the, what do you call them, Joseph, quasi-fast foods? How do you say that?
Well, you know, the fast foods.
The Buffalo Wild Wings.
Right, the Nationals.
Yes.
The chains. But we do have, you know, the mayor mentioned, you know, Cermak Road as well as Roosevelt Road. If you go into the Depot District, we have Laverne's, we have the Garage. We have a great new space now called Out of Space, which is a music venue that started off as being a creative center for kids about education and art and music. But now it's turned into something even larger than that. You go on to Ogden Road, which is Paisan's, which is one of our greatest restaurants that we have in that particular area. So, you know, come one, come all.
Let's not forget Connie's in the corner of Harlem.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Stanley.
I have, you know, I live in the city, but years past, when I do drive around, I do see the Berwyn billboards
right,
in the city.
Right.
So that's a strategy. You're trying to bring people from Chicago out here?
It is an integrated marketing
campaign.
And they're
cool. They're kind of like an art deco. The design
yes.
is really,
right.
really, yeah.
Right. In fact, our campaign now is called Nothing Like a Suburb
right.
because it's nothing like a suburb. and our taglines are handcrafted community. And the other is full of characters.
Yeah.
So, and that really much defines the different personalities that we have in our community. So we're excited about that. We're looking forward to a more robust type of integrated marketing campaign. I mean, that's, again, our leadership within the city as well as the associated supporters help us with that process. You know, it's a joint collaboration. It's always positive. It's always progressive. And so we're looking forward to more.
School system here, give us the
school systems are very good. Actually, our high school system was AP School District of the Year of Illinois last year.
Right.
So our school systems are good. Our grade schools, we have two different grade school districts, and they still work hand in hand to try and help each other out. What we have now is we have complete cooperation between our various city government, Berwyn Development Corporation, our two different park districts, our city rec department, our school systems. Everybody cooperates. Everybody works together for the betterment of Berwyn.
You guys like this van?
Oh, I like it. Yeah. It's nice to travel in this.
Because
yeah,
right. After the show, we're going to go over to Oak Park.
Okay.
Now, is there a rivalry between Berwyn and Oak Park?
Actually,
was there ever used to be called South Oak Park? Or?
Actually, the mayor of Oak Park's a very dear friend. Anand's a very good friend. He has a restaurant there in Oak Park.
Is that like Minneapolis and St. Paul? Or?
No, known him for quite a few years.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you this, is that, you know, part of the role of the Berwyn Development Corporation is not only to sustain our community, but also to build a sisterhood and a brotherhood with communities that surround us as well. So there's no competition to speak of, but we have multi-chamber gatherings once a quarter. And we invite all of our chambers from surrounding areas so that we can exchange ideas, so we can collaborate, because a successful community and a successful area means success for all of us. So, competition, I guess.
One of the biggest proofs of the cooperation is Roosevelt Road.
That was
designed between Oak Park, Berwyn, and Cicero, and the three towns cooperated to put it all together to make it more pedestrian-friendly and add some life to this corridor.
Well, I know I'm a Berwyn native, and I'm just a guy who sits around in a van, but I think Oak Park, I'm just very pedestrian. Oak Park, to me, sounds a little fancier, more expensive. Berwyn sounds a little more gritty and affordable.
I went to high school.
Did you really?
I went to Fenwick High School.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Yes.
So what was the difference? Is there a difference between
there is a difference.
Fenwick and Morton or something? Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Um, I, my family was just big believers in the Catholic school system.
Sure.
So I went to St. Mary's Cell down the block, which no longer exists. I went to Fenwick. I went to Loyola University. So
yeah.
So it's just what my father was graduate from St. Ignatius.
Okay.
So that kind of tells you where it came from.
But that also adds to the diversity of not only the business side of it, but also the educational part, is that you have access to whatever you choose to have for your kids. And even though I'm part of the economic development side, finding balance within your community is a great thing. You have to find some way that your park districts, your schools, your economic, your businesses work together. And I think the mayor said it best when we had a council meeting a couple weeks ago, and that was, with the craziness that's going on the national scene now, we need to take care of our own, and we're going to take care of
our
own.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And what we do at a grassroots level is how we're going to progress to the next step.
That's a good point. We've got about 2 minutes left. Is there a website? How can people find out more about Berwyn, and especially events coming up this summer and stuff like that?
Give them the BDC.
Sure.
Website.
It's www.berwyn.net, and that's tied to the city website as well. So we have a listing of a calendar from day to day, week to week, month to month. This is our busy season. You know, we're starting with the Taste of Cermak, which is next month. We have Oktoberfest coming up. We have Route 66 coming up.
When is the Route 66 thing?
That is in September.
Okay.
Or late August.
Late August? Okay.
So yeah, September 15th is the Oktoberfest.
Correct.
Okay.
So we have a lot going on, and we're excited about that. And we welcome everyone that comes. We ask you to come. And, you know, if you're down in the city, it's a 10-minute train ride from Union Station
right to
the Berwyn stop.
Yeah.
It's 9 minutes to the Laverne train stop, where you can stop at Laverne's, you know. And
it's only a 20-minute drive when there's no construction.
Yeah, right. yeah. Well, thank you so much. You're going to hang around here tonight?
Absolutely.
We'll stay around for a little while.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Have some of Tom Sims' jambalaya. The jambalaya is really good. I want to plug that. You got to have that and stuff. So you've come to this a lot.
Well,
isn't your first festival.
No, not at all. I just ate at Capri a little while ago, one of my favorite restaurants. So.
Okay.
Train that kept my girl from town, left me standing on a corner, my head bowed down. Hey, that train kept my girl from town. Hey. Wish to the Lord that the train would wreck, kill that engineer and break the fireman's neck. Hey, that train kept my girl from town. Hey. I'm Iowa raised, I'm Dakota bound. How dark was the night and how cold was the ground. Hey, that train killed my girl from town. Hey.
All right, Rad.
Well, the smokes are on a table and the coffee's getting cold. Be careful what you wish for to have and to hold. Hey, that train kept my girl from town. Hey. It's ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Just find me a lover that a man can trust. Hey, that train kept my girl from town. Hey. Hey.
The Pines. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN, live in the camper van. I'm really excited. It's like three people in the camper van. You want to, David, you want to introduce who all we have here? It's the most we've had in the van.
Yes, sir. My name is David Huckfeldt. On the accordion tonight, accordion master, Mr. Alex Ramsey. And back on the bed, between the sheets, Mr. Benson Ramsey.
Benson, thanks for taking care of the back there. So tell us a little bit about the history of the group. You're in the Twin Cities now, but are you from Iowa? I know a little bit. I've got some Greg Brown Ramsey questions, but yeah, give us the Pines 101.
Everybody in this van, except maybe for you, is from Iowa.
What part of Iowa?
These two gentlemen are brothers from southeastern Iowa, a beautiful little small farm town named Washington, home of the oldest movie theater in the United States. And I am from Spencer, Iowa, in the Northwest. The oldest movie theater in the world.
Now, where's Spencer at?
Spencer is tucked in the northwest corner of the state near Lake Okoboji, Spirit Lake, Minnesota, South Dakota, kind of beginning of the Great Plains.
And what's the population there?
16,001.
And has it gone up or down?
It's flatline.
It's flatline. Yeah. Okay. And you guys, can you hear me on the microphones?
Yeah.
Microphones, okay. So tell me a little about the area you're from.
Yeah.
The population. And
The population has dwindled a bit. Yeah, for sure. It's a little town. It's a farm town just south of Iowa City, about 20 miles by Mount Pleasant and Fairfield.
And what's the population there?
I don't know. I think it's like 7,000.
7,000?
Okay.
Kind of, yeah.
And what'd you guys do growing up there?
Well, our dad was a musician.
Right. Bo Ramsey.
Yes. And our mother was a postmaster of the post office.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it was a really cool little town. And it's kind of coming back slightly, but it was hit hard.
Okay, so two questions there. When you say it was hit hard, what was it hit hard with?
Walmart and Big Ag.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Corporate agriculture.
Well, and it's a big pork producing. So, like, we grew up going, you know, a lot of friends were family farmers with pork producers. And now you would be hard-pressed to find a pig, even though it's one of probably the biggest pork producing counties in Iowa. It's all confinements now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and you're not even hardly allowed to talk about that. It's serious business.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason I'm asking these questions about small towns, that's kind of a theme in some of your writing and stuff. Talk about the small towns and the struggle to keep these towns alive and how that influences your music. Go ahead.
Well, that's all that's what we know.
Yeah, right.
Like, that's where we come from. So, I think, if anything, it's just, if you're trying to get at the heart of something, you kind of got to go where you're from. And so, but we're also trying to write for people from there into us. You know, like, it's not meant to be, something about that place. If anything, this music is, or some of it is for the people that are there. Like, music's meant to be like under this sort of dreamy and, you know, like, kind of. So it's not meant to, like, we're not trying to, like, solve the world's problems. We're trying to, like, meet people in that space that you can't articulate at the gas station or something. You know what I mean?
Very well put. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not just from there. I mean, we also, on purpose, our touring schedule takes us to major cities for sure, but mostly it takes us to small rural communities, concert series in barns, old co-ops and general stores. And to us, that is that's a more fascinating world, a little bit less... maybe bang for your buck in terms of the music business, which is what we like. We like to take our own pace and be around people who are driven by community, you know?
You know, on your Red House record, Above the Prairie, there's a picture on the cover of just these stars. And I did, there's our friend Beetle Bob. I do a minor league baseball column, and I went to a game in Cedar Rapids, and all that corn smell in Cedar Rapids and Clinton and all that. But there's like three star scenes I've always remembered. One like maybe in Key West, one maybe in San Francisco or over by Oakland, and then the Iowa stars. And is that just me, or is that over? What is it about? I left this game in Cedar Rapids. I just pulled over, stopped. I was in my car. I wasn't in this, and just got on the hood and just took all those stars in. What is it about the atmosphere? And is it just because it's so wide open, or is it because I'm a city guy and it's new for me, or what is that?
I think it's all those things. I mean, if you stand outside of a cornfield, you can hear life vibrating at a different frequency. And the sunsets are really long and really slow in Iowa, because that's the prairie and that's the plains. And they talk about alpenglow, the glow that a mountain gets during sunset. Well, that happens on the prairie, too. It happens to cornfields. It happens in wide open spaces, this pinkish kind of glow. And when the stars come out, there's not very many skyscrapers to get in your way. There's not a lot of plains. You get far enough. You don't have to go too far any direction to get out to the middle of nowhere,
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. This is great stuff. I really love talking about it. Everybody knows about Sense of Place. We're going to take a break for some commercials. We're going to come back with another song, and then you're going to get it on your way. You got another place to go to. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal with the Pines on WGN.
A certain man one day did go down to Jericho, falling among thieves along the way. Then the priest came passing by, he crossed over to the other side. The Levite came, he did just the same. When the Samaritan heard his cry, he could not just to pass on by. He dressed his wounds and he carried them to the nearest inn. Well, he reached down, he reached down. He got right there on the ground. He reached down, he reached down. And he touched the pain. Paid the keeper the amount that was due. He said, if you need more, I'm good for that too. He reached down, he reached down. He touched the pain. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought the adulteress for Jesus to see. Lord, she sinned, now the law says she must be stoned. If there's one of you that's without sin, he said, then you can cast the first stone in. And one by one they left, leaving Jesus and the woman alone. Well, he reached down, he reached down. He got her right there on the ground. He reached down, he reached down. He touched the pain. Well, no accusers are left that I see. And woman, neither do I condemn thee. He reached down, he reached down. He touched the pain. Stories told about the traveler at the end of life's road. He's at the gates of the kingdom, and the master says, come on in. When I was hungry, he gave me meat. When I was cold, he put shoes on my feet. When I was in prison, you're the one who couldn't see about me. You reach down, you reach down. You got it right there on the ground. You reach down, you reach down, and you touch my pain.
You're dead to the least of these. You said you're doing unto me. He reached down, and he touched the pain. He reached down, and he touched the pain. He reached down, and he touched the pain.
Pines, welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on 720 WGN, live from Fitzgerald in Berwyn. Tell us, that was excellent.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about
Iris
that.
Iris
DeMent. Yeah, Iris DeMent. Tell
it's
us about
Iris
that DeMent
song. It's an Iris DeMent song, yes. She's, our dear friend. And
yeah. You know her through Greg and Bo. And
oh, yeah. She's a family. And but that's a freaky song, yeah.
And what's the name of it?
Huge town.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was telling you during the break, I mean, I visited Greg years ago and stuff. We talked this is about songwriting. Iris, I believe, is from Kansas City. But Greg, of course, being from Iowa. We earlier talked to Charlie about Dylan being from Minnesota. John Prine being from right around here where the van is parked.
Right.
What is it about Midwest? Greg and I would always talk, and we touched on this a little bit, about space. And just the idea that space can create imagination and stuff. How does that influence songwriting in the Midwest?
Well, I think the Midwest is interesting because there is space, but it's not like space like Idaho or something. You know, like, it's connected and there's space. Like, so you're getting some sort of input, but it's like half input. You know what I mean, or something? I have no idea, but it is interesting.
Yeah,
there's a slowness, but it's not completely cut off.
Like Iowa has 99 counties, and every county has their own courthouse, their own local government. So it's these tight knit communities surrounded by a lot of empty space, and then it's also just not a rush. It's pacing too. A pacing to life where you couldn't push things much faster if you tried. You could leave, and you could go to Chicago, you could go to L.A., you could go anywhere. But if you can't really push things. Iowa's going to go at a certain pace. The Midwest is going to go at a certain pace. And there's a beauty to that. Even in cities like Minneapolis, you know, it can be very progressive, but also very commonsensical.
Maybe easier to get stuff done.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. Yeah. Tell us about the record, Above the Prairie. It's on Red House.
Yeah, that record is our fourth record for Red House. On the record, by the way, you can find this music at thepinesmusic.com. But that was, we have this tendency to make records as snapshots of moments in time. So even though there was a gap between the last two records, Above the Prairie happened very quickly, and it culminated in this collaboration with the American Indian activist and poet John Trudell. On a song that we wrote together and recorded, the last song that he ever recorded before he passed away a couple years ago. So it's a very special record for us, and I'm glad that it exists as opposed to not.
Yeah. How'd you connect with him?
We met his family in Minneapolis, and they became friends of the band, and the idea was born that it had been years since John came back to Minneapolis to do a concert. And we said we wanted to be the band, and we wanted to bring him to town. So it took a couple years to make this happen. And then when we met him, it felt like we'd known him a long, long time.
In the 2 minutes we have left, I want to ask you, David, how did you come together with the brothers and stuff? How'd the group come together?
Benson and I, we're brothers in another galaxy, you know, so we pretty much ran into each other in the streets of Tucson, Arizona.
Really?
And very far from home, with kind of wild imaginations about what you could be up to in life. And we just started to play blues music, folk music. But we also had these other interests in songs and songwriting, movie music, these different things. We put it all together, came back to the Midwest, got Alex up from Iowa to join up. He's the very third member of the Pines by far, and we've been doing it ever since.
What were you guys doing in Tucson?
Stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff. How long ago was that?
10 or 11
years ago.
Yeah, it was
400 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So give us the website. I want to thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for not complaining.
I mean, it's great. Look at you're stuffed in the back there. You sang the song over the captain's chair.
This is the greatest thing I've ever did.
I think we should just go on a road trip. Four of us, right?
Yeah.
Wherever you want. Just feed us.
Refrigerator here. It takes a while to cool up. Anyway, give us the website again and any other gigs coming up and stuff like that.
It's thepinesmusic.com. We record for Red House Records. We'll be around the Midwest a little bit this summer at the Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, you are.
And then we'll be taking
Tanya Tucker's playing there.
Well, we'll be with her mostly. Yeah. So. And then we're going to make a new record, so we're going to vanish for a little bit.
Okay. Thank you so much, Pines. Thanks for joining us in the camper van. We're going to take a break with David Jennings, the news. We're going to come back with Beetle Bob, Bill Fitzgerald. We're going to talk about Tiki, so
Beetle
don't
Bob.
Go away.
We love Bill Fitzgerald.
Yeah, we do too. Thank you, and we'll be back after this. Welcome back to our live broadcast of Nocturnal Journal from Fitzgerald's American Music Festival. In the van, ready to go, is club owner Bill Fitzgerald and our dear friend from St. Louis, Beetle Bob. Together in the van. Dream.
Well, I tell you, you're seeing the impossible right now. Me sitting down while a festival's going on.
Yeah,
I mean, you're asking the impossible, and you've achieved it, Dave.
And Beetle, you've come to a lot of these festivals. This is on your list of all
the
festivals.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the big ones, but I like a club one. That everything's so accessible. You can go from one stage to the other. No matter where you, even if you're in the back row, you can see and hear perfectly. You're right on top of the action.
Now, Beetle, for the listeners who don't know, tell us about your streak. I'm always asking about your streak. How many shows have you seen in a row?
Well, you interviewed me when my streak hit 7,000. It's now at 7,324 nights without missing a concert.
Come on, let's hear some applause. And you know that for a fact. You keep a journal?
I keep a journal, mark it down. I keep a journal every night from the Fitzgerald's Festival, each band that I saw. And then I'll just mark it down and just, keep track of it year-round.
What happens? Do you ever get sick or hungover?
No,
You don't drink.
That helps. I mean, I know it's a non-rock and roll lifestyle thing to say, but it that helps, Strict vegetarian, that helps too, But really, people have come up to me who I haven't seen in years, said, Beetle, you haven't aged a bit.
No,
I said, it's the music that keeps you young. It really does.
And you came up yesterday? Are you here for the whole festival?
Oh, for the whole shindig, yeah.
Okay, so yesterday you threw chicken out?
Yeah, it was one of my favorite, one of the most sleaziest, treacherous rock and roll bands of all time, Southern Culture on the Skids. And, it's amazing. Whenever they perform, I don't care what club it is, the next day, the juvenile delinquency rate rises 10%. Liquor sales at the club go up 50%.
Is the mayor still here?
And fried chicken sales go up enormously.
Uh-huh. And handicapped, and then we'll get Bill in a minute. Are you going to be here for the rest of the festival?
Oh, yeah.
So what are the other highlights for you, Bob?
Oh, my God, there's so many of them. It's hard to pick one band over the other. That's one thing that I like about the Fitzgerald's Festival, too, the diversity of music. You hear power pop like Marshall Crenshaw. You'll hear, traditional blues, R&B, folk music, a little bit of roots country. I mean, the roots country, the real McCoy, roots rock and roll and, Zydeco, Cajun sometimes. And we've had in the past gospel stuff, too, and big old-timey bands. It's just an amazing array of what makes Americana music the true essence of this country.
And you've got a suit coat on and a shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not hot.
No. Yeah, I mean, nothing could be as hot as the music. Now, that's hot.
Okay, Bill, how's it going?
I'm doing good. I happen to have a few beers now and then when I watch music. Not like him. We feel both the same about music. We love it and very excited. And he's been calling me about the festival for a month and getting excited and promoting it and telling his friends, and we really appreciate it.
And you give him an MC spot. He MCs some shows, right?
Yep.
people are going to be able to see you emceeing other shows this weekend?
Yeah, I'll be introducing a few bands, dancing on stage with a couple.
Okay for him to dance.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Bill Handicap, what else is coming up this weekend, the next 2 days? Tell a little about the food. I've had some jambalaya. Just give us some bullet points on how this.
Oh, yeah. Tom Sims and his brother Jim are, once again, doing a wonderful job. They set this thing up. It's kind of like a Kiwanis Club where they just get in there. They build the booth. They have their friends and volunteers come in. They prep for this food-wise, I'd say 2-3 weeks in advance, and it's a labor of love, and people look forward to it every year, and it's a great thing. And musically, I mean, we're in our second day, and I've already seen 4 or 5 shows that have just kind of knocked my head off. Just amazing stuff. The Pines in the club.
Weren't they great in the van, too?
They were great in the van. Yeah, that was a show we took a risk booking such a quiet, show like that. And it worked out. I mean, they had a small crowd at the end there, but they had a standing ovation.
Yeah.
People were shouting loud, And then you walk outside, and you've got Los Straitjackets with Marshall Crenshaw. And I'm hanging by the fence with Val from Valhalla, watching from the side. Then I get to walk out front.
Yeah.
And it's just so dramatic. It's so cool.
And coming up, I was looking for my schedule. I have it somewhere in here. But you got Dave Alvin.
Yeah, the next thing up here in the club is the Shiny Ribs. And we gave them 2 nights because we feel that strongly about them. They're a perfect fit for Fitzgerald's. They have it all going on. It's great music. It's humor. It's Texas. It's rock and roll. It's got everything. So.
And let's see. Oh, I know Tributosaurus. Oh, I bet you'll be at this one, Bob.
Well, yeah.
Tributosaurus doing the Monkees.
Right. I know. I'm a bit, I tell you, 30, 40 years later, they're finally getting their due respect. I mean, if you used to say the Monkees, people would roll their eyes. Oh, come on. They're a joke. But they didn't realize that there was some great music there. And later on, the people like Nesmith and Peter Tork were writing really good songs.
Yeah.
That's
tomorrow. I know that one by heart. That's tomorrow at 6:30.
Right. And that was my wife Kate's pick. Uh-huh. I was not big on the Monkee idea, and she said, let's do it. And I know Tributosaurus is going to bring this show here. It's going to be incredible.
Tell people who don't know what Tributosaurus is.
Tributosaurus is a Chicago-based group. A lot of the guys live out here on the West Side, and they become a different band every month, and they perform at Martyrs, at Wire. And they become whatever group they choose to become.
Yeah.
Whether it's Ray Charles with an orchestra, or it's Tom Petty, or what have you. And the Monkees thing, we're going to find out what they need to do to present that group in their recording career on stage at Fitzgerald's. And it's going to be great.
Bob, they won't be doing anything from the movie Head, will they?
I don't know. That's pretty far out stuff. But if they do that, that'll be an accomplishment. I'd settle for just one song if they were able to do it,
So, Bob, what are the shows after this? When do you go back to St. Louis?
Going back 4th of July after the shindig's over, head on back and tell all my friends about it, give it a big report on my radio show. They want to see.
Oh, you do a radio show too?
Yeah. They'll be talking to me and asking me how it went. I'll give my top picks of the month or this festival. And I got to give a special notice to Kevin Gordon today because Kevin paid tribute to a St. Louis legend who passed away, Chuck Berry. He did Bye Bye Johnny. He mentioned it on stage. And, of course, Chuck Berry has a big tradition here recording for the legendary Chess Records here in Chicago. So, you got that St. Louis-Chicago connection with Chuck Berry.
Did you go to any of Chuck's services?
To the funeral at the Pageant in a club, and his body was laid out. A lot of people like Johnny Rivers, Gene Simmons was there doing tributes.
Yeah, we had Paul Schaefer on the show just last week, and he said that he thought there should have been more guitar players there. He said Simmons was there. I knew Simmons there.
Gene had really the best, tribute to him. Talking about when he was a Jewish kid coming from America, a lot of prejudice against Jews in the area he was in. And he was, he was foreign to the country. He heard Chuck Berry as a kid on the radio. And said it just made him feel like an American. It gave him that connection to the Americana sound.
So you're going to go right back into it when you get back to St. Louis. You're going to see.
Oh, yeah.
Send me a little text every day.
Talking. Like I said,
is there ever a night, like a Monday night, where there's nothing to go to? You go to a casino or something?
No, I tell you, what helps my streak keeps going is that I'm into so many different genres of music. I like rock and roll, different styles, folk rock, blues, Zydeco, Cajun, jazz. you know, even Polka, you know, like Brave Combo, you know, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
So I think even when there's not a good national band in St. Louis, just like Chicago, we have a good local scene of bands that do good original music.
So, Bill, tell us about the rest of the week, the address, all the details for Fitzgerald's.
Yeah, we're in day two. We've got 4 days to go here. Tomorrow's another great long day of music. We open at 1:30, and on the 3rd, we open at 4 o'clock. And it's you can pay at the door. You can get tickets in advance.
And what are the ticket prices?
Ticket prices, it's $40 a day. You get $5 off if you show up the first hour and make those first acts feel welcome and, you know, have some food and all that. And we're excited. You know, it's going to be a great way. The weather's been great, and
yeah,
it
the weather
continues
has been great.
To look good.
You've drawn really good crowds the first 2 days, haven't you?
This is a great year. Yeah.
What last thing before we take a break, and we're going to have Eddie Angel and Dave Vasta. We're going to talk about the tiki stuff you got coming on next weekend here and stuff, the Exotica. What have you learned in putting this together that maybe you didn't know before over the years and stuff? Like, this is number 36.
Right.
All right, say let's go back 18, number 18. What do you know now that you didn't know at 18?
You know, to me, I just feel like, you know, it's a job to do to put this together. Every year it feels like a little bit more work. But, man, once it's happening and it feels like it's galvanized. It's just people come up and just thank us. All the people that work here and thank us for doing it, and they love it, and it just feels like it's they mark their time in life. They tell us they spend their weekends. They don't go anywhere on July 4th because they want to be here.
Right.
They want to have that reunion, that feeling of that they get here at the festival. So it's pretty rewarding, you know.
Bob, you travel all around the country at festivals and stuff. Are there any festivals where you feel the sense of community like you do here? Like
it's tough because, I mean, but I tell you, not just the great Chicago, the people of Illinois, but you come to this thing as much as I do. It's amazing how many people from different states come here, not just Missouri. I've met people from Iowa, Indiana, Kentucky even today, you know.
We had somebody from England here today.
I know, it's somebody from England. So, I mean, it's a smorgasbord of, you know, from all over the United States as well as other countries as well.
I did my homework. I pulled a story I wrote in 1997, which is 20 years ago, and you were here for the festival. Do you remember this, where you joined Sid Straw on stage with the Skeletons?
Oh,
I remember that.
For I Want to Be Your Boyfriend. Do you remember that, Bob?
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. I mean, that was, you know, anytime you're on stage with Sid Straw and the Skeletons, how can you forget that, you know?
what other people have you sung with?
Sung with?
Yeah, who else has brought you on stage?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the Wacos did last night, right?
Well, Dance with the Wacos.
Yeah, okay.
No singing. Those guys got enough good voices in their voice. They don't need me.
Who else have you been on stage with?
Well, let's see. Southern Culture and the Skids. Did a little thing with Robbie Folks for a while. You know, Robbie, good with Robbie. And, those three are right now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Robbie was here last night, Bill.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, give us the information one more time, how people can find the club.
Fitzgerald at 6615 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Come one, come all.
Parking pretty easy, right?
Pretty easy, yeah.
Okay.
In the neighborhood here. We got a valet next door if you want to go that route. And,
Well,
starting tomorrow at 1:30, we'll be back at it again. Day number four.
Thank you for being a great host, Bill. You made it so easy for us to do this, get the van in and out, WGN van. So.
It's pretty cool.
So thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks, Beal Bob, for jumping in. I know you're busy out there.
Dave, I tell you, you're one of the few people I would sit down for during the festival.
Thanks, Beal.
Hey, we're missing music. We've got to get
going.
Thanks. We're going to be back with more on Nocturnal Journal after this.
Thanks, Dave.
That all night. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 and live from Fitzgerald's in the camper van. Thanks for joining us, Eddie Angel.
Good to be here.
From Los Straitjackets and Dave Vasta.
Thank you.
And you guys are here to talk about Exotica 10 years after.
Yeah, that's right.
I was at the first one, right?
Yes,
David.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us, there's a lot going on. I mean, you must want to go, first, for both of you guys, I know you're both involved in the community. I like doing, like, just ground-level stuff. How would you describe Exotica? What is it?
It's basically, we started it back in 2003 as a thing to get all the tiki files and around the nation to come to Chicago and see what we had to offer. So obviously back then we had Trader Vic's a lot more than we have now. And we had a four-day event where we started out in 2003, went to the Kona Kai when it was still open, went to Trader Vic's. 2005 and 2007, we had the main event here at Fitzgerald's on Saturday.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. And what will be happening this year at Saturday 7-8 at Fitzgerald's? I'm thinking of coming to this. Doors open at noon. You have vendors. Take it from there.
Correct.
Your own words.
We have a bunch of vintage vendors specializing in Hawaii and tiki-type items and vintage 50 stuff. We have some artists involved as well that will be selling their wares. 12 bands through the course of the day. Actually, over 12 bands. Over 12 bands in the course of the day. We got them outside and inside. We got some surprises for you. We got some great music. We've got go ahead.
It starts on July 6th.
Yes, it actually starts Thursday night. We're having a meet and greet at Delilah's in Chicago. I'm sure you've all heard of Delilah's. It's one of the best dive bars in the country.
And it'll be
and what they're doing for us on Thursday night is they are serving us some tropical cocktails that they're making specifically for Thursday night. They're going to have surf tunes spinning on, with the DJ, and then they're going to have a bunch of old surf, like, movies spinning in the background on
now,
the TV.
I'm going to ask you a question as a journalist. How come you didn't do this at Three Dots and a Dash or something like that?
To me, Three Dots and a Dash didn't give me what I wanted, okay? Otherwise, I would have been there. It wasn't Trader Vic's. It wasn't what we did back then. Obviously, those aren't around anymore, so we picked something different. You know, we're still doing the tropical motif with the drinks and all of that, but we kind of sidetracked, going to places like Three Dots and Lost Lake.
I think it's cheaper, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I want to get Eddie on Friday night, 7-7, the Volcano Room at the Bottom Lounge in Chicago. Now, this is great. The Dyes at 9 o'clock, Eddie Angel's Guitar Party at 10 o'clock, the B-Sides at 11.
Yeah.
Eddie, tell us about the guitar party.
Well, I started doing that. It's just me playing kind of – I'm in so many bands.
Right.
And I play –
how do you keep all that straight?
I know. I don't know. But I play festivals around the world, and I'll hire one of my bands, and then I'll be there, and I'll – as an extra thing, I'll put together a few guys who were there at the festival, and we'll do a bunch of different songs together. So that's how that sort of started. So it's sort of like a – it's a collection of different songs I do from different bands,
Like what? Give me some examples.
I'll do a bunch of instrumentals that I do in those straitjackets. I have a band called the Neanderthals. I'll do one or two of those songs. I have a rockabilly band called the Planet Rockers. I'll do a few of those songs. And then whoever, I'll have people sit in, and whoever's there happens to be there, I'll have them sit in. Like that night, Deke Dickerson is going to be playing bass with me. So he does a great rendition of Surfin' Bird. After the Trashman, he's the best version of Surfin' Bird there is. So if you're a fan of Surfin' Bird, you don't want to miss that. So
that'll be 7-7.
July 7th.
At the Volcano Room.
So, and I had a record in the 90s called Eddie Angel's Guitar Party. So that's sort of where the name came from. And
are you still in Nashville?
I live in Nashville.
How long have you been in Nashville?
30 years.
30 years.
Moved there in 1986.
My brother lives in Nashville. I go down there a lot. Is there like a tiki scene there?
Not that I know.
You have to find it. except
for Smyrna.
Omni Hub.
The Omni Hub.
I've been there. Is that still going?
They don't serve booze there, but you can bring your own booze. They have all the mixers and stuff. It's a fabulous place.
It's right by that car factory.
It's what like 20 miles east, northeast.
That is good.
It is a dream of mine to open up a tiki bar there, but my wife won't let me.
Now, you guys were involved in the Las Vegas grind, right?
Yes.
How is that different? How is that same as what you're doing here? And tell us what the Las Vegas grind
was. Well, Las Vegas grind was, we did that in Las Vegas, obviously. Yeah. It was centered around 60s garage music. We had the Remains, the Standells, the Trashmen. And it was all music, and it wasn't so much about tiki culture, but there was probably some of that there.
But the theme, it's almost kind of a theme we've talked about throughout the show tonight. What we do it and seeing these things is community, a sense of community.
Yeah.
The people who are into the garage, who are into the tiki.
Exactly.
Can you talk about what that means when people meet each other and the sparks they create?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the first time I ever saw Deke, was at Las Vegas Grind in 99. He was with a band. I think that was his original band, wasn't it? The
Untamed Youth.
Untamed Youth,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was strictly a hardcore surf-style frat garage band. And it's completely different than what he's doing nowadays, but it was excellent.
Okay, so now that's 7-7-9. We moved to 7-8, which we've touched on. That's Fitzgerald's. We've talked about the vendors, but at night, well, you've got a lot of bands.
Well, we got some excellent talent. I mean, we've got obviously the Neanderthals with Eddie coming in. We've got some other special surprises I'm not going to give away at this point, but we've got the Concussions from Grand Rapids, excellent band.
What are they called?
The Concussions. Yeah, they were here in 2007 when we did the last one.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, they're not a lot of NFL players.
No, their stick is pretty cool. You'll love seeing what they do on stage. And then Deke Dickerson will be here.
What is their stick? What do they do?
They come out. Should I give it away?
No, yeah, you can touch on it.
Yeah, they come out on stage and they're wearing skull masks.
Okay,
and they're usually either in suits, but it's probably going to be warm out, so they might just be in like tuck shirts and shorts.
Okay, you've got the Janes. I've seen them before.
And they were out here for both the other ones that we did here, and those gals come out, and let me tell you, they work their tails off.
They're go-go dancers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they come out here because, well, they want to do this, and they love coming out and having a good time, dancing in between the acts, dancing with some of the acts, and I can't say enough about those girls.
Boy, that's quite a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you have one more day.
Yeah, that's
the 9th. You have a brunch at 11 in the morning.
Right. Sunday morning, we're doing brunch over at Exit Strategy Brewery, a small little brewery in Forest Park that the wife and I just love. So we're tagging that on to Sunday's event. And then we're finishing off at Halakahiki.
Our friend Dave Chris.
The historical Halakahiki with David Chris and his show, The Lowbrow Aloha, which he's done a few times before. He's got some excellent artists there. They bring in stuff that just is phenomenal. Every time I go, they have stuff I haven't seen before, and I don't know how they do it, but they come up with new stuff all the time, and that's how we're topping it off. So Sunday afternoon, we'll be hanging out at Halakahiki. Come on out there, and if you haven't spent all your money on Saturday on the vendors, spend it with Dave and his people on Sunday.
Eddie, I'm excited. I've seen you a million times, but the first time I've seen you without a mask. I've never interviewed you in person. You travel around the country. You travel around the world. Size up the tiki Polynesian communities you see when you travel. I'm sure sometimes, whether you're traveling for music or even traveling for recreation, how does Chicago size up and stuff? I mean, I know San Francisco's got some good stuff.
Yeah. And Chicago's pretty good. Yeah, it's way up there. Yeah. And there's just little things around the country. There's no big scene anywhere that I know of. You're happy just to find a tiki bar in the town, in the Polynesian town or something like that. So Chicago's pretty cool, but you know, I gotta just say, I mean, Chicago's pretty cool in every which way, man. I mean, we always talk about it's one of our favorite cities to come play. It really is, and this festival is an example of that, you know. And I just want to give some, like, kudos to Bill Fitzgerald. Like I was saying to Dave before, kind of, this is probably my favorite venue in the country to play. I played all over, I've been touring 20 years, man,
good
all around
you.
The world, man. And this place, it's great. I don't know how he does it, you know.
Okay.
And he stays so calm.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's great. He's a great host.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
Eddie,
us, David.
Eddie and David, and we'll see you next weekend out here at Fitzgerald.
Yes, definitely. We'll see you then.
Thank you all for listening to our live broadcast tonight from Nocturnal Journal at 720 WGN.